Box Office Battle. I'm Biggs.
I'm the Beard.
I'm Zach. Brandon is doing a movie called
Big Trouble from 2002.
It's not called Big Trouble from 2002, just for the listeners out there. It's called Big Trouble, and it's from 2002.
Well, there's two different Big Troubles. One premiered with Peter Falk in 1986.
We just
found out.
Yeah. Can you imagine if the movie was called Big Trouble from 2002? Like, it was made in 1986, but it took place in 2015, and the bad guy time traveled from 2002.
That would be interesting.
Sure would. Would be a very
9/11 probably wouldn't happen.
Thank God.
And what are you doing, Zach?
X-Men, The Last Stand.
So it's the third
X-Men
movie?
Colon, The Last Stand.
No colon on the DVD cover, my friend.
IMDb. Listed.
IMDb is so liberal with their colon use.
Yeah, they just have colon blow.
The Liberal Colons would be a great punk band.
So what is the string for this movie?
Ben Foster.
Who is Ben Foster?
Ben Foster is a young, blonde, handsome actor. He's a very talented character actor. And he's in my movie for about 2.5 minutes.
He's mine for about 10 to 15.
There you go.
Nice. So combined 12 to 17 minutes.
Yeah, about that. I was going to do a movie he was the star of, but then I didn't. Instead, I did this one.
All right. So without further ado, here's the trailers.
In a city celebrated for its diversity.
So this is Miami, huh? They can keep it.
The least likely people often meet through random acts of fate.
Could I offer you some coffee?
How do you, like it?
Light and sweet.
But no matter how great the differences that keep us apart...
We don't shoot somebody soon, I'm gonna forget how.
I'm sorry my husband's such an idiot.
Do you think someone's trying to kill him?
God, I hope so.
There's always something bigger that brings us together.
I need a missile.
Missile weary hard to get.
Well, I want you to try weary hard to get a missile.
From the director of Get Shorty and Men in Black.
Pick him up. You give me your watch.
Is that a goat?
Big Trouble.
Snake, let's get the hell out of here. I think I hear one of them silent alarms.
On principle, I can't negotiate with these people.
Well, then you know what needs to be done.
We're going to protect our citizens.
Make no mistake, my brothers. The humans will draw first blood. And the air is still, and the night has fallen. If there's only one question you must answer. Who will you stand with?
A major pharmaceutical company has developed a way to suppress the mutant X gene permanently. They're calling it a cure.
There's nothing to cure. Nothing's wrong with any of us for that matter.
You of all people know how fast the weather can change.
Did you find what you were looking for?
The source of the cure is a mutant. More powerful than you.
Logan!
Gee,
something woke her. But she has to be controlled.
You know, sometimes when you cage the beast,
I can't do this.
The beast gets angry.
You have no idea. You have no idea what is upon us now.
Fury that this world has never witnessed.
Magneto's got an army out there. You go to war, you might not come home. She might not come home. You ready for that?
We're not kids anymore.
Hey, I'm not your father. If you want to go, be sure it's what you want.
It's time we make our choice. If you're with us, then be with us.
They wish to cure us. And I say we are the cure.
Look at me, G. We can help you. We can fix it. We can make it like it was. Stay with me, please. Come here.
The first thing I got to say is this movie has probably the worst release date of any movie could possibly come out. It was scheduled to come out in late September of 2001 involving terrorists and bombs.
Ooh, wow. Boy.
Yeah, they had this one already. Dave Barry wrote that quite a bit before 9/11, and they had everything in the can, and then 9/11 happened. They're like, oh, we should not release this.
Let's throttle back for a minute.
And so it didn't come out till February of 2002. That being said, I love Dave Barry's writing. Basically, Tim Allen plays a version of Dave Barry, which I thought was interesting because there's a character, Puggy, played by Jason Lee, who is not in the trailer. He plays basically the narrator of the entire movie. And Roger Ebert wrote a review of it, and basically he was saying Dave Barry is the character Puggy, which I thought was kind of an interesting view on this.
So X-Men The Last Stand is the third X-Men feature film following X-Men and X2 X-Men United. Really hammering these X's home.
Was X2 really called X-Men United?
X2 colon X-Men United.
That was also that one had a September 11th release date. Didn't do so well.
This film takes possibly the most beloved and respected X-Men storyline of all time, the Dark Phoenix saga, as well as a recent favorite, Joss Whedon's Gifted storyline from Astonishing X-Men, and blends them together into a story that has none of the best attributes of either. And we're gonna have some fun talking about that.
I'm not even gonna ask if you're seriously like putting up your movie to win. All right, Brandon, talk about your movie.
The best part I thought about Big Trouble was the cast of this. There were so many actors that are, I would say, B actors, B plus, not quite A minus style actors. You know a lot of them. They're just not the big hitters in Hollywood, but some of the funniest guys you have on there. From the trailer, you have Tim Arnold, Rene Russo.
Wait, hold up.
Who's Tim Arnold?
Tim Allen.
Oh, okay. I know that guy. Tim Arnold's like, that's like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Two of the guys that I thought were just hilarious in this, Tom Sizemore plays one of the dumbest human beings on the planet in this film, which is right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And his counterpart in this is Johnny Knoxville, who plays as equally dumb, if not dumber, but he's kind of sweet in the same way. He's dumb, but he's not malicious about it. Tom Sizemore and Johnny Knoxville hold up a bar, but Johnny Knoxville is nice. He's like, sorry about the inconvenience. I mean, he's just following what Tom Sizemore is leading on, and he really doesn't want to be there, but he's still doing it because he doesn't know any better. Some of the other actors you come across, Dennis Farina, Janine Garofalo, Zooey Deschanel. This was one of her breakout performances. She played a teenage girl, but she was good looking. And I was always had a thing for Zooey Deschanel until The New Girl.
Did she sing?
She did not sing in this movie. She was not in a shower.
Weird.
Although, to be...
I like that you knew right where I was going.
To be fair, the whole opening premise of the movie was Ben Foster and DJ Qualls were playing this game where they were given somebody to shoot with a super soaker and kill, parentheses. So they're trying to get Zooey Deschanel wet. So it's a quasi shower, but no, it doesn't actually happen. Omar Epps, Heavy D, makes an appearance in this. Jason Lee plays Puggy. Sofia Vergara, Andy Richter has two roles in this movie, and quite a few other people, but those are the heavy hitters in this movie.
You want to talk about cast? I've got Sir Patrick Stewart, Sir Ian McKellen, Huge Jackman.
I feel like this episode has gone off the rails.
And Famke Johnson. I got Halle Berry. I got Anna Paquin. I got other famous people like Ellen Page and other ones. And they all have powers, and it is dazzling to the eye. Also, this one's pretty notable for the X-Men franchise because, you see, this is the first time the original five comic X-Men were all in the same movie, and the only time to date. So it's very important.
The major emphasis on Big Trouble was the minor interactions of small parts that fit together to make one giant comedy of errors. Stanley Tucci's character is blackmailing an arms company, and they find out that Stanley Tucci's blackmailing him, skimming off the top. They hire him dead. That's where Dennis Farina comes in, and just little parts that all make up one big whole, like I said, comedy of errors. Every little piece on its own is not so much hilarious, but when you put the whole picture together, it is entirely entertaining, which is one of Dave Barry's many talents as a writer. Line by line isn't necessarily funny, but when you see the entire picture, when you're going from IRS agents to something completely different, and you see how every little part ties together, that's when you see the genius of his writing.
This movie's about how the good guys need to beat the bad guys. And and the good guys do, because they use their flashy superpowers betterer than the bad guys use their flashy superpowers. And also, because fuck the bad guys, they were trying to do bad guy things, and that's unacceptable. This is a movie that makes its morality clear. This was the first of the X-Men movies to start to play with the like the costumes and the more superheroic visuals, in that like there's a bit where Beast, who's played by Kelsey Grammer, suits up to go to battle with the X-Men, even though he's a politician now. He's like, no, I gotta be with my people, and he's gonna fight because he's a good guy. And so he puts on his old X-Men uniform, and it's like a blue and yellow like superhero costume, which is even better because it doesn't fit. There's a whole joke about how he's fat now, and so he can't zip it up, and he just looks like he's wearing...
Okay. Well, Nicholas Holt is quite a bit smaller than Kelsey Grammer.
It's true. So it looks as though he's wearing like a leather vest he wore in like sophomore year of high school. It's really exciting.
There were two cameos that I want to bring up in my movie that just brought so much hilarity to my movie. The first one was Xena, warrior princess, who ends up getting shot through the TV. In the trailer you heard earlier, and if you look at this online, there's a scene where Stanley Tucci's ducking as the TV gets shot. And it was kind of a small metaphor that goes through this movie. TV gets shot three different times in two different locations. The same TV gets shot twice in Stanley Tucci's house, and the TV at the bar gets shot once. And all three times it gets shot, there was stuff on TV that most people would call trash TV. As much as I love Xena Warrior Princess, and I'm sure Biggs was probably enjoyed Xena Warrior Princess, but it wasn't the best programming on television.
So what was it a metaphor for?
I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
And the other time it gets shot was when in the Russian bar, they're watching this weightlifting gymnastics, is the only way I could describe it. You see these like East German, West Russian women that are just built like a tank, about 200 pounds of pure sculpted muscle, flexing and doing gymnastics sort of things. And it's all they're doing is watching women bend and squat. So, you know, it was not so much a metaphor, but I'll say a morality. Like, shoot the TV. It doesn't really matter. You don't need this in your life. There's bigger things in play.
I do need the TV in my life, because the bigger things in play are like the season finale of Breaking Bad. Like, there's important things to deal with the television. And I do not support the moral of any film that would purport to tell us that television is bad. That is all.
But you are in support of giving up your true nature to fit in with society and to be like a normal human being, be on a government list as being an ex person who is used to have a special ability but now is not because they had the cure. Is that what you're really pushing for?
Yes.
This is the strongest defense I've ever heard. I said that in quotes.
That was so short, I had nothing to like bring up after that.
I liked how you did the
My tactics thing. Are working.
I think we ought to bring the judgment.
Hang on.
Okay.
Ben Foster, he plays Angel, and he's got pretty wings, and he flies. And it's a very nice moment, because he breaks out from under
no,
dad's
I can't
control.
Do this.
Yes, he can't do it, and he flies away. And also, Child, not Ben Foster, but Child, Angel cuts his wings off, and it's super fucked up. That shouldn't have been in the movie. It's super fucked up. That is all.
So, but did he take those broken wings and learn to fly again?
True story, on this podcast I listen to, the Uncanny X-Cast, that's about X-Men, they have a segment they do periodically called Top 5, and one of them was Top 5 80s songs for X-Men, and that exact song was what they chose for Angel.
So what you're saying is that was really low hanging. Damn, I thought that was being clever. Okay, I've listened to your arguments. Brandon, your movie I vaguely remember because I think I was drunk late one night in the basement of my grandma's house when I was like 17 watching it. Maybe
you were way
I
older than that.
I might have the math off on that.
You were about 22, 23.
All right, probably wasn't in my grandma's house. Anyway, I remember drunkenly watching it late one night thinking like, meh, it's all right. X-Men 3, I can't even go that far. Dude. X-Men 3 is a fucking shit show. Anybody listens to Skies on a regular basis knows I'm not like the hugest X-Men fan. I'm really not. I go to, I think 3 was the last one I went to in the theater, honestly. Yeah. And do you count Wolverine, like the first Wolverine movie?
The one with Deadpool?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an X-Men
Origins : Wolverine.
Okay. So that was the last one I saw, but X-Men 3 kind of soured me on it. Wasn't really like a huge fan of the first two either. Like, me and Brandon walked out of the first one and I was like, when's Spider-Man gonna come out? Like, it's just like watching it like, when's Spider-Man
You never
gonna
were
come
a big
out?
X-Men guy
no,
to start with.
Never though. Been huge on X-Men. But however, I did enjoy like that they were superhero movies with the first two. This third one, dude, was just a shit show. Everything about it is a shit show, and it sucks because I love Kelsey Grammer. I loved him in Cheers. And Frasier, he was a boss, and boss, yeah, that's a deep pull right there. Down Periscope, he's delightful.
He has Welcome Aboard tattooed on his dick.
Yeah. but he's fucking terrible in this movie. Like, and you know what? He's probably the best thing in this movie. That's the sad thing about it. They pulled probably the most famous X-Men story, like the Phoenix Saga, which honestly doesn't hold up anyway. Like, if when you read that, it's like batshit crazy.
Okay, now hang on. I was gonna let a lot of things slide, but now hang on.
No, you gotta save that for the reviews,
dude. That storyline, like, if you take the core of it, it's a good storyline, but it reads as insane. There's nothing about that that would, like, translate to movies very well, and, like, they somehow made it worse. Like, it was fine for 80s comics, but it's just, it didn't make sense, like, honestly. And, yeah, there was just nothing about that. This was just like, I'm just gonna throw this stuff, and we're just gonna mention things from the comics, and you're gonna eat it up. So, Big Trouble, I'll give, like, a satisfactory, because I kind of remember liking it, but it's, you know, it could have been better, could have been worse. I don't really remember that well. X-Men 3, I remember, like, I had been terrified at NAMM, and, like, seeing something horrible. Because, like, it was so bad, it stuck with me for years. I got a feeling we're going to get a super rant from Zach, so maybe we should go Brandon first.
I wouldn't say so. Maybe. We'll see. Could go a lot of ways.
X-Men 3, I'm going to give a solid unsatisfactory. I watched it once. I own it on DVD. Have never watched the DVD of... I don't know why I own the DVD, but I do. And I just... don't feel any desire, and especially after like watching the trailer again, I'm like, and the trailer makes more sense than I thought the movie did. And there was parts of it, the movie, that I thought were, oh, that's kind of cool, because you got Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart, and you just like seeing those guys on screen, but that's about it. That's all you get. Big Trouble, I watched again last night, and I haven't watched it in a couple of years. It was one of the DVDs somebody broke into my apartment and stole. And it was one, if you could wear out a DVD, I'd probably would be that one. I enjoy it every time I watch it. I give it a solid excellent. Not an excellent plus. It's not the greatest movie, but I get so much laughter and enjoyment out of that movie.
Big Trouble gets an incomplete. X3, The Last Stand's not a good movie, you guys. You guys, I love the X-Men like a lot, like a lot.
I know, that's why I had to like lace of that stuff about the Phoenix just to watch you take it this hot ass room.
And that's the thing I was about to say.
A little bit of hazing is the last recording we're doing before you leave it.
You had to know the heat would sap too much energy that I was going to need to focus on what I needed to rant about more. So I have to choose one path. And I'm going to choose the spit hot fire at X-Men The Last Stand. Because man, is it really, it's profoundly bad. Every time, so I've seen this movie, God, probably like 11, 12 times. And
you just like hate watch it over and
I love over? I love the X-Men so much.
You're like, oh, I've seen the first two. No, I gotta watch the third one.
Again and again. And if enough time passes after watching it, I start to stick up for it again. I'm so like, it's not so bad. There's good stuff in it. It's fun to see the characters again. And like, if you're an X-Men fan, that's true. There are entertaining moments. There are some fun scenes. It's nice to like, you know, do the thing you do in any X-Men movie, like hunting for which characters made it into the background. And sure, all that good stuff.
I will say that the first time I saw it, I stuck up for it when my friends were ripping on it in Olympia. And I kept thinking about it until I arrived to the point I'm at today. But I mean, it's like,
It took a while.
I could never watch it again. I knew it was horrible on some level.
I could, and I did. And it's, listen, they, it's like they picked the worst possible way to solve every problem they had as they were going through drafts of the script. Like, oh, this doesn't seem to add up much. Well, we can make it make sense. But instead of going for the obvious solution, let's take the stretch. Except for they said that for every decision. So now everything is stupid and ridiculous. And there are scenes that never get paid off. And there's scenes that are trying to pack like an hour's worth of emotion into 3 minutes. But it's just not quite working because the script is such garbage. It all looks very like plain and murky. It's not well directed at all as you'd expect from a Brett Ratner movie.
See, you should have seen the road cut. It's spectacular.
Cyclops, who I love, gets the fucking short stick. Just bad. Just gets shafted bad. Madrox, my favorite X-Men character ever. Just an abortion of a translation of that character. Just profound.
They killed off Professor X.
They do. They killed off Cyclops after like 3.5 minutes of screen time. Professor X gets killed. It's just, and nobody's motivation. And what,
especially
make any
like
sense.
You see them and they're like, they die and there's just no real remorse, like sense of loss. You're at like, all.
There's a funeral and then we move past it. And the stakes are super small the entire time. It's unclear why Angel is involved in the plot at all, other than they wanted to have him flying
I thought
around,
his dad was cool. One of the senators that was pushing for.
Right, and that's the thing is, there's no reason. The only reason they made his dad that character was so they could use Angel. So basically what you're saying is, it's like an Ouroboros, like a snake eating its own tail. They put Angel in it to justify having his dad, but the only reason they have his dad in it is to justify having Angel.
Hold on, I have a headache for a second. So, if Professor X died in X3, how is him and Magneto in the airport at the end of the Wolverine?
Because timey-wimey stuff.
Yeah, but they weren't time traveling at that point. In fact, that scene didn't work with anything.
It's
because
Bryan Singer is ignoring that movie entirely. That one in X-Men Origins Wolverine are getting basically entirely ignored.
Oh, I didn't realize we had the old Richard Donner treatment.
Yeah. Yep. Basically, they've agreed to pretend that this movie didn't happen.
Okay.
Except for a few weird things that they keep, which only make the continuity dumber. So for all intents and purposes, they ignore it outside of a few things. Vinnie Jones is there and he says, I'm the juggernaut bitch, and that's a cute little moment. And Ellen Page does Ellen Page stuff. And I mean, Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen are reliably Patrick Stewart and Ian. I mean, there's things to not hate, but there's mostly things to hate. So I'm going to say unsatisfactory plus. Unsatisfactory X.
You're just going to flip that like 23.5 degrees or whatever. 22.5. That sounds like a horrible movie, Zach.
It's not great.
And I say that because you said the title.
X-Men.
And I already knew.
The Last Stand. The art design. Oh, my God. It looks like someone mixed together fucking rotten markers and painted in mud.
You know what I mostly remember about that movie? like them talking to the president.
Oh, sure.
Like them talking to the Senate. Like, that's what I remember. This is the Phantom Menace of X-Men movies.
That is accurate. Far too accurate. They even have offensive blue-skinned people.
Which one? Was that Mystique or was that a Beast or
both of them? Really,
Nightcrawler was in. He wasn't a.
He's in X2. He's not in X3.
I thought he had a couple little scenes.
Nothing. There's in the
Brandon,
video.
Have you watched it 12 times?
In the video game, there is a plot line in the video game that came out after X2. It's the interim between X2 and X3, and there's a plot line in the video game that explains why Nightcrawler's not there.
That's an interesting thing with the video game sometimes too, because like I had the Spider-Man 2 video game for PlayStation 2, and they actually had like this whole plot line with Black Cat in it.
Nice.
That I found out later was supposed to be a plot line in Spider-Man 2, and then Sam Raimi was like, you know, there's too much to have two villains, we'll just keep it to one villain, which like so explained to me how Spider-Man
that right out the window.
How'd that work out for you?
Yeah, I don't know. It was supposed
not
to be
following your own advice.
Yeah, I actually know that answer. It's because there's supposed to be two movies. There's supposed to be three and four, and he couldn't find a satisfactory climax, so he hacked off some of it and turned it into one movie. Bad choice. But we're not talking about that wretched movie. We're talking about the wretched X-Men movie. Is it just like a law that the third superhero movie is like dicey at best? I feel like Iron Man 3 probably did the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you have like Superman 3. Richard Pryor is the main character in that one, and not Richard Pryor at his best.
Yeah.
Yeah. X-Men 3 is terrible.
Blade 3.
Oh, Blade 3 is awful.
Blade 2
wasn't great,
but Blade 3
is horrible. Like, yeah. Apparently, if you add Ryan Reynolds to your movie, it makes it worse. Who would have known?
That's not always true. Not always.
Are you just going off of a trailer right now?
No, because I'm going off of Buried, which is very good. I'm going off of The Voices, which is very good.
But, okay. If you add him
hey,
to
the
your
first Van Wilder was definitely the best one.
That's true. That's really the only
See,
one.
Ryan Reynolds, not so bad.
He's not
I mean,
the
he's no
worst,
Sam Rockwell,
guys.
But...
That should be his tagline. He's not the worst, guys.
Every Ryan Reynolds movie would be improved by taking him out and replacing him with Sam Rockwell. That's just a fact.
I would be down with that.
Yeah, well, I'm not disagreeing with that.
Well, with that, fill those seats so we don't have...
Baby, don't understand why we can't just hold on to each other's hands. Time might be the last I fear, unless I make it all too clear. I need you so. Whoa. Take these broken wings and learn to fly again. Learn to live so free when we.
Not safe for network. So when you get the actual script in your hands, how is it that you memorize everything?
I mean, there's like, you write the first letter of each word.
That's what Robert Downey Jr. does.
Sure, yeah. And that's great for Robert Downey Jr., but
that's
just
great for Robert Downey Jr.
That just gets me so confused.
RDJ.
So
RDJ.
We won't be seeing you in an Iron Man suit anytime soon.
Well, not on stage. In my off time, maybe. But I don't know what you're doing in my bedroom, so please leave.
That's debatable.
I think the way we argue matters. The more diverse populations we have to argue with, the better. The internet, it gives you a lot of zealotry and a lot of that insane, you know, 9/11 was an inside job or the moon landing never happened or whatever. But, you know, if we could look at the flip side of that too, you get a whole bunch of information that gets to fly around the world in a heartbeat and all of a sudden everybody knows the same damn thing.
We had a good life.
Is talking about the Juggalo community on the podcast so publicly as we do,
yeah,
does that set us up as a target in the future potentially? It's as much of a threat as a dirty 400-pound topless woman like running at you from a couple hundred yards away can be. You know what I mean?
This is family over here.
It's family.
Box office battle.
If you were to take the male lead of your film and put him into a romantic comedy, would I root for him?
I have to say, we have seen this romantic comedy. Liv Tyler is his daughter, and he saves the human race in Armageddon.
Is that a romantic comedy, though?
You know, you had me until you said Armageddon.
Shooting the show.
My parents always stocked up on ramen. They didn't really know how much I ate. And I would actually scrounge up change and go to the store and buy more ramen so it didn't look like I ate as much.
Eric.
That's what alcoholics do. My mom should have never taught me how to make it.
Yeah, you had a problem.
The Alien Movie Project.
The aliens crash a kid's birthday party, basically.
Which, again, I think supports the frat aliens notion. Oh, God, where am I? Oh, guys, hey, is there anything to drink at this party? You guys.
You guys, I'm going to have some of this cake.
Hey,
you guys mind if I cut this cake?
Can I open this? Are you going to wear that hat?
I'm just going to take some of this cake.
Montauk Skies.
By the way, his character trait is he constantly pulls out stomach acid pills. What do you call it? Like Pepto-Bismol or something? And he just constantly chews the pills every time something comes wrong. He's like, just chewing the pain.
Can I just say,
washes them down with a cup of coffee.
I appreciate the subtlety used by saying his character trait, because we know this is the type of movie where each character gets one trait.
Find all our podcasts on iTunes. Not safe for network.